Today is the 18th day of May. Welcome. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian. It's great to see you. Great to be here with you today. Grateful to be here together in a safe place. We can let the cares of this life kind of stay out, just beyond the perimeter here. I mean, nobody's coming for those, right? There are burdens to carry. And so it'll be there. But we can come in here together around the global campfire and just let it go, because it's safe here. We're here for the same reason, all of us. Another step forward on the journey that is the scriptures. So here we are, hanging out, taking the next step forward, which leaves us back to the drama that is the intertwined and meshed lives of King Saul and the shepherd turned celebrity hero David. 1 Samuel chapters 22 and 23. David left Gath and escaped to the cave of Adullam. When his brothers and his father's household heard about it, they went down to him there. All those who were in distress or in debt or discontented gathered around him, and he became their commander. About 400 men were with him. From there, David went to Mizpah in Moab and said to the king of Moab, "Would you let my father and mother come and stay with you until I learn what God will do for me?" So he left them with the king of Moab, and they stayed with him as long as David was in the stronghold. But the prophet Gad said to David, "Do not stay in the stronghold. Go into the land of Judah." So David left and went to the forest of Hereth. Now Saul heard that David and his men had been discovered. And Saul was seated, spear in hand, under the tamarisk tree on the hill at Gibeah, with all his officials standing at his side. He said to them, "Listen, men of Benjamin, will the son of Jesse give all of you fields and vineyards? Will he make all of you commanders of thousands and commanders of hundreds? Is that why you have all conspired against me? No one tells me when my son makes a covenant with the son of Jesse. None of you is concerned about me or tells me that my son has incited my servant to lie in wait for me, as he does today." But Doeg the Edomite, who was standing with Saul's officials, said, "I saw the son of Jesse come to Ahimelech, the son of Ahitub at Nob. Ahimelech inquired of the Lord for him. He also gave him provisions and the sword of Goliath the Philistine." Then the king sent for the priest Ahimelech, son of Ahitub, and all the men of his family, who were the priests at Nob, and they all came to the king. Saul said, "Listen now, son of Ahitub." "Yes, my lord," he answered. Saul said to him, "Why have you conspired against me? You and the son of Jesse, giving him bread and a sword and inquiring of God for him, so that he has rebelled against me and lies in wait for me, as he does today." Ahimelech answered the king, "Who of all your servants is as loyal as David, the king's son-in-law, captain of your bodyguard, and highly respected in your household? Was that day the first time I inquired of God for him? Of course not. Let not the king accuse your servant or any of his father's family, for your servant knows nothing at all about this whole affair." But the king said, "You will surely die, Ahimelech, you and your whole family." Then the king ordered the guards at his side, "Turn and kill the priests of the Lord, because they too have sided with David. They knew he was fleeing, yet they did not tell me." but the king's officials were unwilling to raise a hand to strike the priests of the Lord. Then the king ordered Doeg, "You turn and strike down the priests." So Doeg the Edomite turned and struck them down. That day he killed 85 men who wore the linen ephod. He also put to the sword Nob, the town of the priests, with its men and women, its children and infants, and its cattle, donkeys, and sheep. The one son of Ahimelech, son of Ahitub, named Abiathar, escaped and fled to join David. He told David that Saul had killed the priests of the Lord. And David said to Abiathar, "That day, when Doeg the Edomite was there, I knew he would be sure to tell Saul, 'I am responsible for the death of your whole family. Stay with me. Don't be afraid. The man who wants to kill you is trying to kill me too. You will be safe with me.'" When David was told, "Look, the Philistines are fighting against Keilah and are looting the threshing floors," he inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I go and attack these Philistines?" The Lord answered him, "Go, attack the Philistines and save Keilah." But David's men said to him, "Here in Judah, we are afraid. How much more than if we go to Keilah against the Philistine forces?" Once again, David inquired of the Lord, and the Lord answered him, "Go down to Keilah, for I am going to give the Philistines into your hand." So David and his men went to Keilah, fought the Philistines, and carried off their livestock. He inflicted heavy losses on the Philistines and saved the people of Keilah. Now Abiathar, son of Ahimelech, had brought the ephod down with him when he fled to David at Keilah. Saul was told that David had gone to Keilah, and he said, "God has delivered him into my hands, for David has imprisoned himself by entering a town with gates and bars." And Saul called up all his forces for battle to go down to Keilah to besiege David and his men. When David learned that Saul was plotting against him, he said to Abiathar the priest, "Bring the ephod." David said, "Lord, God of Israel, your servant has heard definitely that Saul plans to come to Keilah and destroy the town on account of me. Will the citizens of Keilah surrender me to him? Will Saul come down as your servant has heard? The Lord, God of Israel, tell your servant." And the Lord said, "He will." And David asked, "Will the citizens of Keilah surrender me and my men to Saul?" And the Lord said, "They will." So David and his men, about 600 in number, left Keilah and kept moving from place to place. When Saul was told that David had escaped from Keilah, he did not go there. David stayed in the wilderness strongholds and in the hills of the desert of Ziph. Day after day, Saul searched for him, but God did not give David into his hands. While David was at Horesh in the desert of Ziph, he learned that Saul had come out to take his life. And Saul's son Jonathan went to David at Horesh and helped him find strength in God. "Don't be afraid," he said. "My father Saul will not lay a hand on you. You will be king over Israel, and I will be second to you. Even my father Saul knows this." The two of them made a covenant before the Lord. Then Jonathan went home, but David remained at Horesh. The Ziphites went up to Saul at Gibeah and said, "Is not David hiding among us in the strongholds at Horesh, on the hill of Hakalah, south of Jeshimon? Now, your majesty, come down whenever it pleases you to do so, and we will be responsible for giving him into your hands." Saul replied, "The Lord bless you for your concern for me. Go and get more information. Find out where David usually goes and who has seen him there. They tell me he is very crafty. Find out about all the hiding places he uses and come back to me with definite information. Then I will go with you. If he is in the area, I will track him down among all the clans of Judah." So they set out and went to Ziph ahead of Saul. Now David and his men were in the desert of Maon, in the Arabah, south of Jeshimon. Saul and his men began the search, and when David was told about it, he went down to the rock and stayed in the desert of Maon. When Saul heard this, he went into the desert of Maon in pursuit of David. Saul was going along one side of the mountain, and David and his men were on the other side, hurrying to get away from Saul. As Saul and his forces were closing in on David and his men to capture them, a messenger came to Saul saying, "Come quickly. The Philistines are raiding the land." Then Saul broke off his pursuit of David and went to meet the Philistines. That is why they call this place Selah Hamalakot. And David went up from there and lived in the strongholds of En-Gedi. John 10, 1 through 21. Very truly, I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, "Very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep. My sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice. And there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father." The Jews who heard these words were again divided. Many of them said, "He is demon-possessed and raving mad. Why listen to him?" But others said, "These are not the sayings of a man possessed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?" Psalm 115. Not to us, Lord, not to us, but to your name be the glory, because of your love and faithfulness. Why do the nations say, "Where is their God?" Our God is in heaven. He does whatever pleases him. But their idols are silver and gold, made by human hands. They have mouths but cannot speak, eyes but cannot see. They have ears but cannot hear, noses but cannot smell. They have hands but cannot feel, feet but cannot walk, nor can they utter a sound with their throats. Those who make them will be like them, and so will all who trust in them. All you Israelites, trust in the Lord. He is their help and shield. House of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and shield. You who fear him, trust in the Lord. He is their help and shield. The Lord remembers us and will bless us. He will bless his people Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless those who fear the Lord, small and great alike. May the Lord cause you to flourish, both you and your children. May you be blessed by the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. The highest heavens belong to the Lord, but the earth he has given to mankind. It is not the dead who praise the Lord, those who go down to the place of silence. It is we who extol the Lord, both now and forevermore. Praise the Lord. Proverbs 15, 18 and 19. A hot-tempered person stirs up conflict, but the one who is patient calms a quarrel. The way of the sluggard is blocked with thorns, but the path of the upright is a highway. Okay, so as the story continues forward in 1 Samuel, David now, he has done nothing wrong. Like, this is kind of the story of Joseph, right? And Joseph had done nothing wrong, and his family trafficked him to Egypt. David hasn't done anything wrong. He has humbled himself before God. God has lifted him up, but he is a full-blown fugitive. He is on the run for his life. And we now are starting to see that at times King Saul flips into almost total insanity. I mean, the king had the priest Ahimelech killed for simply inquiring of God on behalf of David. Ahimelech was completely oblivious to what was going on and absolutely innocent of the accusations. It did no good. 85 priests, the whole household of Ahimelech, were slain by one person, Doeg. I mean, blood was spilled in an ungodly way. Meanwhile, David continues moving from place to place. He hides in a cave near the city of Adullam, which is at the end of the Valley of Elah, where he slew Goliath. If you're using the Daily Audio Bible app, I'm sure that the Cave of Adullam is viewable today. It's a place. And he ends up in the caves of En-Gedi. I wouldn't be surprised if En-Gedi isn't there also. So, and that's En-Gedi is like fresh water right as it's flowing into the Dead Sea. It's very, very near the Dead Sea. Fresh water in the deserts. It's a beautiful, beautiful place. Then in our reading from John's Gospel, pretty famous territory, I am the good shepherd, Jesus says. Very, very famous quote. This is happening as a part of a larger discussion, and Jesus is using shepherding as an illustration for God's kingdom and his ministry. So he describes those who jump over a wall and into the sheep pen. Those are thieves and robbers. A true shepherd would enter by the gate and would call to the sheep, and the sheep would follow the shepherd because they know his voice. Shepherds, like, they would keep all of their flocks in a large pen at night for safety, and they would keep each other safe as shepherds because they're the shepherd of a flock. And all those sheep know their shepherd's voice. So even though they're all mixed up together, when the shepherd comes through the gate and calls his sheep, they all come because they know his voice. The thief's purpose, Jesus said, the ones that jump over the wall, is to steal and kill and destroy. My purpose is to give them a satisfying and rich life. I mean, if we think about it, like that one verse describes like the plot of the story that is what life is shaped as. When we realize this, we see a lot of context emerge around our days and our weeks, our months. The thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. My purpose is to give you a rich and satisfying life. Jesus' message is clear enough. He and his sheep share deep mutual understanding of each other. We, who are the sheep in this metaphor, can hear our shepherd's voice and be guided by only him. It's his voice we follow. And without the voice and guidance of the shepherd, we don't know where to go other than astray, which makes us vulnerable and isolated to the thief who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So that requires that we have ears to hear, right? Because we will hear his voice. All true relationships require more than a one-way conversation. So it's not a matter of whether Jesus still speaks. It's a matter of whether we can get still enough to hear his voice. He has come that we might have life. First step to listening to God's voice would be, like, if we're considering a choice, we can just ask, will this lead me deeper into the life Jesus offers? If not, then it's not his voice. So Holy Spirit, come. Jesus, your sheep hear your voice. So that means we can. It's just a matter of are we paying attention? And in these days, if we're not, then we're being foolish at best. And very, very vulnerable to the thief, stealing, killing, and destroying in ways that we cannot imagine. And so, Spirit of Truth, lead us into all truth. And may we slow things down, pay attention as we move through this week. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com and the Daily Audio Bible app. These are home base, and they're all brand new. Within the first few weeks of launching a multi-year, multi-layered, multi-tiered project for a platform for the future, for anything we could think up. So we're getting moved in and getting stabilized and talking about all the different parts of the app and just really check it out. Spend 5-10 minutes playing around with it and you'll see there's a lot of power there and a lot of connection there and a lot of intentionality in making our journey through the scriptures more meaningful. So check it out. And mentioning, and really actually kind of running out of chances to mention because it'll be over. The new shop, the Daily Audio Bible Shop, is all brand new. Lots of brand new things, all kinds of brand new things there. Coffee and tea, Wind Farm Coffee and Tea, are there. Obviously, we've been doing this for years, 17 years. So coffee and tea aren't new, they're part of our fabric of our DNA, but it's all brand new packaging, and it's in a brand new shop, and so it's a brand new subscription, a brand new coffee club. And if you want some really, really fresh roasted coffee that does good, that only does good, that only helps the campfire continue, check out the coffee club at dailyaudiobible.com in the shop, or in the app in the shop. If you make a subscription for a year, pay for a year, and pick what you want delivered, we will send you a clean canteen, a Daily Audio Bible 20th anniversary clean canteen. We had 250 of them for this. They are running down and out, but clean canteens are a popular thing around this community as well, because we've had them for a long time. They're my go-to. And I remember when we first got them, and I still have my very first one, and I have all the different ones in between. I love them because they keep my coffee warm. I start in the morning, and I'm still going, you know, getting toward the end of the day, I can still sip it. And that's why. And so we bring them in a couple times a year, or once a year. I don't know if we'll be able to any of the rest of this year. We have a very busy year as we move into our new place. So anyway, get your free 20th anniversary edition clean canteen by subscribing to Wind Farm coffee or tea for a year. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, thank you with all humility and gratitude. Thank you for your partnership. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you are using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner, or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, hit the hotline button in the app. That is the little red button up at the top. Or you can dial 877-942-4253. That's it for today. I am Brian. I love you. And I will be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Hello, Dappers. My name is Karen. This is my first time actually requesting prayer on this new platform, or even the previous platform. I am asking prayer for an ongoing issue I have had for 2 years now. With my leg, I have something called peripheral arterial disease. I have had 7 surgeries, and it is still not completely healed. There's been an issue after almost every surgery. I am weary. I am getting discouraged. And I just need the prayers of my brothers and sisters for complete healing for this. I have been dealing with this, as I said, for 2 years. So I don't know if this will be aired, but I know God hears it, and I know that I will be prayed for in one way or another. Thank you, all of you. You are a precious, precious community. And my faith is in the God who hears our prayers.
My name is Bertha. In a month, I will be 83 years old. I wish to have more trust and faith in God. I know better, and I covet your prayers, and I thank you very much.
Good evening, Daily Audio Bible family. This is Curtis in the Commonwealth. And I was just remembering when I used to listen to Daily Audio Bible and only listen to the Bible part, and I didn't really listen to the prayer requests and the rest of it, but it's become such an important part of my life now to hear how everybody's doing and pray for prayer requests that come in. I've seen your prayer requests bring healing to my wife as she's going through breast cancer, and she's got big surgery coming up Wednesday the 20th. Please keep us in your prayers. Our family is still separated, but there's been some good news lately that she's going to pursue some counseling, same person I'm meeting with, and so pray for that. Pray that he will be used and that God will speak with his Holy Spirit to both of us and bring reconciliation. Thank you, dear family.
Hi, DAB family. This is Resting in God's Shadow. I wanted to lift up a couple of prayers. I'm still behind. Catching up, but still behind. I think it was May 5th I just listened to, and a sweet, sweet sister called in about the, just that she was hanging out in the forest, talking to Jesus, was just kind of lost after the death of her husband about a year ago. Doesn't know what her next assignment is going to be. Sweet sister, I just lift you up to the Lord. Heavenly Father, I pray your peace and your comfort over her. I pray that she hears your voice, clearly follows you closely and obeys you without question, that you make it clear what it is that you have for her. And maybe right now it is just to be in the forest. Maybe right now it is just to be in the wilderness. And Heavenly Father, that you're just preparing her for the next assignment that you do have for her. But regardless, we thank you for your presence. I thank you that you are with her and that you will never leave her and never forsake her. And sweet sister, we will just keep you lifted in our prayers. I also want to lift up Joe, who called in about his brother Matt. Father, I pray that you bring someone godly into his life, a godly counselor, someone that can help him with what he went through and talk through what he went through in prison, help him with his PTSD, his bipolar, the things that he struggles with mentally and emotionally. Heavenly Father, I pray your peace over Matt. I pray a divine intervention over Matt, and I pray for his salvation and for him to know you if he doesn't and if he isn't saved. And Heavenly Father, I pray that you continue to sustain Joe. I pray you continue to give him the endurance and the strength and the means to care for his brother, to be a provider for his brother, and just to be a safe place for his brother. Such a beautiful thing. Thank you, Father, for how you are so in this situation and present. It is in your name, Jesus.
Hello, Daily Audio Bible family. This is Mark, the baby doctor from Dayton, Ohio. I'm calling in to pray for a couple of requests. Bonnie in North California, you have a hip replacement scheduled for the 19th, which is in 4 or 5 days from now. And at the time of your call-in, you had a sore throat with concerns over your immune system and being prone to infections. So, Bonnie, I'm praying right now that the Lord has healed that sore throat, has put you past this virus or bacteria, whatever was causing it, and will bolster your immune system for your hip replacement, that you can come through this procedure that you've probably waited for, infection-free. In Jesus' name, Bonnie, we just pray his touch and healing over your body and your protection during this surgery and from infection. And Beth in Arizona, I believe you mentioned Rhoda. I think you said your sister had esophageal cancer and just completed 4 weeks of chemo and radiation with 4 more weeks to go, just having trouble sleeping. So Beth, we lift up Rhoda to you right now. We pray that the Lord would bolster her body and her immune system, that she would tolerate this chemotherapy, that she would be able to get adequate rest, and that she would trust in the Lord for final healing of this esophageal cancer in Jesus' name. So lift up both of these requests to the Lord for his healing, his touch, and his presence in Jesus' name. Thank you, DAB family. Mark, the baby doctor from Dayton, Ohio. Love you all. Bye.
Hello, Daily Audio Bible. This is Megan from Canada calling with an update on my mom. She has significantly improved. There was about a 7-day period of her being fairly unresponsive. She had to be sedated. And then on day 9 or 10, they started to be able to decrease her pain medication, and she was doing well, and that has led up to her getting the breathing tube removed. She is breathing on her own, and we're very thankful, and she's talking in a whisper. She said, "I love you." She is remembering things, and she is recovering. They plan to transfer her to the rehab section, where she'll have to learn how to walk again and talk properly and do all the things that she needs to do again. But we are incredibly grateful, and I just thank you all for your prayers. It means so much to me and my family. And I also wanted to lift up Kay from Ohio. I'm so sorry you lost your mom. And just walking through this has made me realize how scary it can be, and the peace that Jesus has brought in this has been overwhelming, and the prayers that we've received have been overwhelming. So thank you guys. And Kay, I hope you find some comfort in Psalms 91 and Psalms 27. Those are two Psalms that I've been reading over my mom this whole time. God bless you, Dad family. Thank you so, so much for the prayers. And please continue to pray as my mom rehabs.